These words of Paul's are so familiar to us. We share them on the first Sunday of each month when we gather around the table. And they're read in churches across the nation and indeed around the world. Whenever Christians come together to share the Eucharist, the Lord's Supper, communion, they have come to be known as the words of institution. I would ask you to set that phrase aside and to join me in traveling back almost 2,000 years to the time when Paul wrote his letter to the people of Corinth. Paul was tending to his friends in a troubled church. And as he penned his words, he did not seek to craft a liturgy. He wasn't looking to put together something that could be included in a prayer book. Instead, he was testifying to people he loved about a great gift that he had received, one that he wanted to pass on to them. Paul believed that these words were Jesus' words, received as a technical term. It means that it was given by someone with authority, someone who knew of what he spoke. And here Paul, just 20 years or so after Jesus' death and resurrection, shared these words with the church he loved. Take this bread and break it. Do this in remembrance of me. What are we to remember? That bread signifies Jesus broken on the cross. Broken for Paul, broken for the people of Corinth, broken for you and me. That bread represents Jesus' love for humanity. Jesus, we are told, came as a king, as Lord, as Messiah. But most of all, he came as servant. One so dedicated to serving the children of God that he would do anything for them, anything for us. Drink this cup, the cup of the new covenant. It represents Christ's blood shed for many for the forgiveness of sins. The new covenant does not replace, it does not displace the old, but it remakes it. It refashions it. And the covenant is not meant to be words on a scroll or in a book or today on the internet, but instead they are meant to be words that are inscribed in our hearts and in our minds and in our souls. They are words that are to be living. The bread and the cup that we will share tonight are Jesus' gift to his friends. And they are passed down to you and me. They are gifts that represent God's unending, undying love for humanity. They are gifts that make concrete that love. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper on Maundy Thursday, we recall the time when Jesus shared this meal with his friends. And think about that night. Jesus knew what was in store for him. He knew he'd reached the end. But on his final night, he did not indulge himself, nor did he seek escape. Instead, he thought of his friends, and he gave them something to hold on to. Symbols, emblems, embodiments of God's love that they could carry with them, that you and I can carry with us. When we look at these elements, we recall Jesus' service. We recall that Jesus has called us into service. And when we consider Jesus' example, we see that that service isn't restricted solely to times when it is convenient or easy. But it is a call that lays claim on us, even in times of difficulty and challenge. Indeed, even in those moments. For if we are followers of Jesus, then we should follow his example. And as we have come together to share this meal, we recall that Jesus gave the bread and the cup, not to one disciple, not to the disciples individually, but as a group, as a community, as a family. The meal is to be shared with others. God's love, God's support was meant to be shared in a group. And so when the church gathers together to share this meal, we testify that not only have we received God's love, but that we will share God's love with our friends and our family and with strangers, with those with whom we are at odds, and we, in turn, will let them share that gift with us. This indeed is gospel. It is indeed good news. As the shadows lengthen and the darkness threatens to overwhelm us, as pain grows sharper, as loss grows more acute, this meal reminds us, this meal promises us that we are not alone, but that we have been blessed with God's power and God's grace and God's love.